So please welcome Michael Kaplan.
So we were all sitting there trying to get ready for the end of the world. And I know that sounds like an exaggeration, but it was October 1999. And looming on the horizon was Y2K. You guys all remember that. The theory put forth was that because computers recognized the year with two digits, that the moment it flipped from 99 to 00, the computer wouldn't know if it was 1900 or 2000. And so this internal binary conflict would take place. And, you know, all these massive computers that control the grid and air traffic and the banks would seize up. And on New Year's Day, no one would have power. You wouldn't be able to get money from an ATM. Even the automatic door at the supermarket would not open for you. Now, at the time, our family was living in a co-housing community in Oceano. And I always describe this community as an experiment and an intentional neighborhood that was composed of a little over two dozen well-meaning progressive liberal households. And we all came together all the time to make group decisions, and everybody was in everybody's business. I look back at it now and I think of it as neighbors without borders. So we come together, we were meeting, we decided that we would take a portion of our monthly dues and buy cases of tuna fish and canned soup to be ready. Then we started talking about, did we need to have some kind of security patrol around our water tank in case, you know, the angry hordes of Oceano stormed our property and tried to steal our water. As a side note, it's a very revealing moment when good intentioned progressive Democrats get paranoid. Anyway, so we did all of that and we all backed up our personal computers, and New Year's Eve came, midnight came, the calendar flipped, and no computer seized up. Y2K was a great big nothing burger. And really, the only consequence that I could see was that I ate a lot of tuna fish and cream of mushroom soup for a few months, until April came around, and I was standing in my kitchen, and I asked myself the question that you ask yourself right before your heart sinks, which was I cooking earlier with caraway seeds? And then you realize those aren't caraway seeds. Those are mouse turds. Here's what happened. In the co-housing community, we lived in a duplex. So on the other side of the wall were our friends, David and Carrie, and their kids, and our kids always played with their kids. It was a very cool situation. David and Carrie were particularly rattled by the prospect of Y2K. So along with all of the precautions that we took as a community, David went out and bought a 40-pound bag of rice and stashed it in the water heater closet behind our building, and then forgot about it. And now, suddenly, we have mice in the walls. And David and Carrie were kind of set up for this because they had a cat that could get right to work. We were not cat people. My wife is allergic, and there's nothing in my emotional makeup that has me seek out indifference from man or beast. And so, you know, there was, I think, a lot more activity going on our half of the duplex, which, you know, suggests maybe the alternative theme for tonight, which is when there's no cat at all, the mice walk tall. We had dogs, and we had just gotten our two puppies, who are now, of course, really, really old, the family dogs. They were no help whatsoever. And so I went to Ace Hardware, and I bought a 3-pack of traps. And that night, you know, I was like Wile E. Coyote, you know, just putting in the cheese and setting them up and, you know, putting one in the pantry and a couple on the counter. And that night, while I'm sleeping, I hear that snap, followed by skitter, 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 skitter. So I get up and I have a look, and, you know, one of the traps on the counter had sprung and then kind of somersaulted over and hit the floor. The mouse was not dead, but its back haunches were in the jaws of death. And it's kind of, you know, going around and around in a like a pinwheel motion. And my puppies are watching it and looking at me like, this is the best toy you've ever brought home. And I get a paper towel and, you know, I airlift it to the outside trash. And the really disappointing thing about having mice in the walls is that you cannot kill one as an example to the others. And so the brutal regime of Colonel Kaplan began. And I was going to the hardware store all the time and buying 3 packs of traps. And there was no catch and release. And there were no, you know, second chances. This was, you know, this was exactly what it was. I, you know, was just, you know, created a killing field in my own home. And after about 3 or 4 months, between the cat next door and my traps and the fact that the all-you-can-eat buffet in the water closet had, the water heater closet had been taken away, either the mice began to die out or they moved on to greener pastures. But, you know, some damage had been done for me because I'm a light sleeper. Every time I would hear that snap in the night, and it would split my soul. And a part of me would think, this is not what a humane person does. And part of me would think, ah, got the little fucker. And in a way, I had become one of those Y2K computers. I couldn't tell if I was an imperialist brute from 1900 or an evolved man of the 21st century. And honestly, I was very conflicted, somewhat tormented about it. So in fact, the full unabridged alternative theme would be, when there's no cat at all, the mice walk tall, the puppies are in thrall, and I need alcohol. Thank you.